Welcome to Reclaiming Womanhood, where we encourage you to boldly become the woman God has perfectly designed you to be. I am your host, Allison Powers, and today we are diving into another powerful topic that will empower you through God's Word to go against the grain of today's culture, reclaim womanhood, and walk it out as moms, wives, and sisters in Christ. Let's get into today's show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Reclaiming Womanhood. Today is September 2nd and this is episode number 15. And I cannot believe that it is already September. Summer is basically over, but it's back to school time. So no matter whether you are going back to school virtually or you're going back to school in person or if you're giving this homeschooling thing a whirl for the first time, I am praying for you and I hope that you stay encouraged. And if you are doing the homeschooling thing for the first time, I encourage you to go back and listen to episode number 8 or episode number 13. Specifically, episode number 13 gives you 10 simple steps. I can't say that. 10 simple tips to get you started on your homeschool journey and to help you stay encouraged. So you are going to hear me talk about homeschooling now and again on this podcast because I truly believe that it is a great way to reclaim womanhood for generations to come, both whether you have just sons or daughters, because it's the change in a child's heart that can change the generations to come, that can change our future politicians. And why is homeschooling helpful in that? Well, it buys you more time with your children, and time leads to influence. And when we influence our child for the good and we spend more time influencing them, it changes their hearts, and in turn it changes generations to come. So that's actually what we're going to talk about today, the importance of our hearts and the importance of being aware of what's going on in our hearts and in the hearts of our children. So, and I'm going to talk a lot about gardening and a lot about our hearts. And I'm going to explain how they all relate because I had a lot of hours in the garden this week. And the whole time the Lord was speaking to me and I'm like, you know what? I think I could do a whole podcast on that. So let me explain what I mean. Okay, so if we look around in the news right now, it can be super tempting, and I know I've been guilty of this, to look around and be like, oh, where is our world going? This, you feel like almost helpless and hopeless because what can you, one person, do to make a change when it just seems like the political world is so just fierce, vicious, and going in the wrong direction? And it can seem discouraging. And I've been absolutely guilty of that and thinking like, what's it going to be like when my kids are adults? And what about my grandchildren? And it's very, very taxing when you let your mind go down that road. But my prayer is that by the end of this podcast, you will feel encouraged that the investment that you make in your own heart and the hearts of your children can absolutely change generations to come, because what you do in your own heart will then, and then in your children's heart, will then leak down to your grandchildren. And this is called a legacy. So we're going to talk about how that actually can absolutely make a change. So what do I mean by our own hearts? So in our own hearts, we have to first start there. What are we allowing in our hearts? The little sins that we allow to take root in our hearts that go unattended and unrepented of. Sins like judging, sins like gossiping, sins like being angry or jealous or envying, sins of being impatient, disrespecting our spouse, rolling our eyes, having bad attitudes, being rude. Those little things that we allow in ourselves and we just don't take the time to clean those out because, you know, it's just something small and that's just my personality and that's just who I am and I'm whatever. God still loves me. Let me tell you, he does, but we need to take our time to look in our own hearts and to clean those things out, because what happens when we let those little sins go unrepented of? And let me tell you, the Lord was really speaking to me as I was like looking up information for this podcast about things that I have allowed in my heart, specifically recently, my opinions that I've allowed to take root in my heart and how I've allowed them to turn to truth, and that I've judged others because they don't exactly agree with me. And it's just caused division. And it's just really made me aware that I need to repent of those things and make a change, because we're going to take a look at a story in the Bible from the Genesis account of what happens when those sins, those little sins we allow in our heart, when we allow them to not be repented of and we allow them to take root in our hearts. So go with me to the Genesis account of Adam and Eve. And we're going to look at the account of Cain and Abel. So if you don't know, Adam and Eve are the first humans that God created in Genesis. And then Adam and Eve went on to have two sons and many more, but the first two sons were Cain in Abel. And Cain was Cain was like a farmer. He worked the land, and Abel was a herdsman. And one day they both brought an offering to the Lord. And God, the Bible says that God was pleased with Abel's offering, but he was not pleased with Cain's offering. And it doesn't tell us specifically why. It could have been that Cain didn't bring it with a grateful heart. Maybe he brought the offering because he knew he thought he had to, but he really didn't want to. Whatever. The Bible doesn't tell us why, but God can see our hearts. And he saw that Cain's offering, he wasn't pleased with it. Maybe because Cain's heart in Abel's, he was. Well, what did that mean for Cain? It meant that he was angry and he was jealous of his brother. And he let those two things take root in his heart. Now, what happened? God said this to Cain. He warned Cain. And this is what he said to Cain. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So God warned him. He's like, there's sin crouching at your door. And if you don't do something about it, it desires to have you. You have to rule over that sin. We have to rule over the sin that we're letting take root in our hearts and say, sayonara, I'm going to repent of that and turn from that and pray for help from the Holy Spirit to turn from that bad habit in your life or that bad tendency of your life, whether it be gossiping or whatever it might be. So that brings me to what happened next. So what did Cain do? Did he take God's advice? Did he weed out that sin from his heart? No, he let sin take root in his heart. And then he said to his brother, he's like, "Hey, Abel, come out to the field with me." And what did he do? He killed his brother. He let that sin take root in his heart, let it grow to such anger, such hatred, so much so that it led to the first murder case in human history. So my point is there that when we let sin, I mean, that's just the prime example of when we let sin take root in our hearts, that there is no good that can come from that. It can only grow into something uglier, more dangerous for those around us, more dangerous for our souls. We have got to take note of what's going on in our hearts and be good stewards of that. And I think a great way to really see what I mean by this is to look at gardening. Okay. I was gardening the other day and I'm like, okay, God, I see what you're trying to teach me here. So let me tell you a little backstory. Last year, actually, ever since I've been married, I've planted a garden, whether it been with the help of my father-in-law or my husband helped me do it, or I've done it on my own. I've tried all these different things. I live out in the country. We have a lot of land and everybody around me gardens. So I've always felt obligated to garden, but I've never been good at it. And last year I had told my neighbor, I'm like, listen, I am never gardening again. Everything I planted has bugs all over it. I don't want to spray it with chemicals. It's just so hard. The weeds are everywhere. It's horrible. I'm never doing it again. And that's what I vowed to her. I will never garden again. Then COVID came around and I'm like, maybe that gardening thing isn't such a bad idea. Maybe I will try it again this summer. And, you know, grocery stores are running out of stuff, so it would be nice to have my own food, yada, yada. So I decided to plant a garden this year. But I said, you know, I'm just going to plant a small garden, nothing crazy. Well, when you go to the greenhouse, I don't know if you've ever gone and bought vegetable plants before. I'm not like that amazing that I plant everything from seeds and I grow my own stuff. I actually buy the plants. Maybe one day I'll be a super gardener like that. But anyways, you go to the greenhouse and the plants are just so little. Like, you know, it's nothing to buy 12 zucchini plants. They're tiny. It doesn't even fill up a whole flat. And then, you know, 30 tomato plants. You know, those little four packs of plants, they're like, I don't know, 4 by 6 inches. That's 4 plants right there. But that's tiny. You don't even think anything of it when you buy it. And I'm like, okay, fine. 12 zucchini plants. I know better. I've gardened for many years. I know how big those things get. But when you're buying them and you're in that mode, they're so inexpensive and they're so little. So it's like no big deal. So, you know, 12 zucchini plants, 30 tomato plants later. And then we're like, you know, my cousin came over. He's like, I got some onions and potatoes for you. I'm like, or no, he had potatoes. I bought some onions at the store. He's like, I got some potatoes for you to plant. I'm like, okay. Planted a row of potatoes. Planted a row of onions. Then next thing you know, we've got peppers going in, squash, green beans, cucumbers, watermelon. Oh, did I mention we planted a pumpkin patch? Next thing you know, this garden, this little garden I wanted to plant is quite large. And because once you get everything spaced out the way it should be so that you can, you know, rototill the rows and everything and make sure the plants have enough room, it takes up a lot more room than it did in the back of your car when you were bringing it home. So suddenly this garden was enormous. And so I'm like, okay, well, I said that I was going to do a good job because I thought this was a good idea, even though I vowed I would never do it again. I'm going to be a good steward of my garden this year. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to water it. And I did. For June and July, I watered it nearly daily. I weeded it constantly because once, you know, when those weeds are little, they're so easy to pull out. And then August came around, and like always, we get busy at the end of the summer. And I don't know if it's just the back to school groove. Sometimes we leave town. Usually we have the fair, which I don't even have that as an excuse this year. But usually when I'm at the fair, garden goes hog wild and I'm done. But that's not even an excuse for this year because we didn't have a fair. Nevertheless, the garden got out of control. I did not pull a weed for 2.5 weeks. And what happened? All of my plants were now shorter than my weeds. The weeds grew over all of my plants, like in and out of every row where I used to walk. They just took over. It was unbelievable how quickly weeds can grow. It's amazing to me. It really is. So I'm like, all right, I've worked so hard on this garden. I vowed that I would do well. And I even learned how to can, mind you. I never had canned before in my life. And my mother-in-law taught me how to can. So I had been canning stuff. And I'm like, I am not going to give up now. I've worked so hard. I still need to do tomatoes, yada, yada, all this stuff. So I set aside a couple days, and I actually still have a little bit of work to do. And I'm like, I'm going to clean out this garden. We're going to get back to where we were. So I enlisted the help of my children, and we worked our tails off, and my kids absolutely worked their tails off, and we picked weeds for hours, and I basically sat with my head down, crouched down, and pulled weed after weed after weed while they were taking pitchforks and just throwing it into a wheelbarrow and hauling it over to the burn pile and then coming back to fill it again. We hauled over 7 loads of weeds, and I'm talking heaping wheelbarrow loads, hard to push, heavy lots. And then after that, we just started feeding the next door goats some weeds. And so we had so many weeds that we pulled. Now, I wanted to, why am I telling you all this? Well, I'm telling you all this because I learned a lot while I was weeding, and I want to share it with you. I feel like God likes to, I'm very thankful that Jesus told stories in parables. Parables, things that you can understand, more like picture stories that you can understand that you can apply to your life. And I felt like the Lord was using that as a life parable for me as I was mowing weeds. So this is what I learned, and I'm going to share it with you. 7 things I learned from not weeding my garden. Number one, it is a no wonder that that was the consequence that God gave to Adam in the garden when Adam sinned. So if you're not super familiar with the story of the fall of man, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God said, you have access to every single thing, and I'm going to live here with you. You are my favorite creation. Like, God dwelled with Adam and Eve in the garden, face to face. And he's like, I have one thing. Do not eat the fruit from that tree. And Adam and Eve didn't listen. The serpent came. He deceived Eve. She fell for it. It was her decision, though. I'm not blaming the serpent without, you know, saying it wasn't Eve's fault. It was her fault because she fell for it. She should have known better, but she didn't. And you know what? I probably would have done the same thing. Anyways, she ate the fruit. Adam ate the fruit. And because God loves us, when we go against what his way for our life, he disciplines us. And that's okay, you guys, if we think about that. Like, when our kids go against our rules for our house, we discipline them, not because we want to like be mean, because we love them. We want them to learn and not do that anymore. And so God, because he loves us, he disciplined Adam and Eve. And I'm not going to get into what he gave everyone for the disciplines. You can go look in Genesis to read that. But this is what he said to Adam. He says, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return. So God said to Adam, you know, you're going to eat food from this land for the rest of your life and your offspring, and it would be painful toil. It will be painful toil. So it's a no wonder that God used weeds. I got a very close understanding of why weeds was the consequence for that, because they are such a pain. They're a pain to get rid of. And not only that, is that they will choke out the good fruit that's coming from your garden. So the weeds thing, that was a huge, you know, lesson for me. Okay, number two. Small weeds are easy to remove. Large ones have bigger roots and can require a hoe to remove, or even a game of tug of war. So what do I mean by that? Well, when the weed is small, like I mentioned earlier, you can just tug it out of the soil. They're easy to remove. But When you get let them get so big, guess what? Their root also gets big and they can be so hard to pull out. There was one weed in that garden where I'm not even kidding you. I was on a full out angle, tug of war positioning, trying to get this weed out of the garden and I couldn't get it because the root was so deep and my son is pulling it and he's got the hoe, he's trying to chop it. And even then he like couldn't get to the root. And I'm like, okay, take it easy because you're right by my nice tomato plant. I don't want that to die too. So we kind of just had to give up on that one. But my point is, it's the same for our hearts and for the hearts of our children. The smaller sins, when we catch them when they're just taking root, it's easier to deal with those. But when we just ignore the sins that are taking root in our heart or in the hearts of our children, and then we deal with them 10 years later, when we see them get a lot uglier and a lot bigger and a lot more serious, well, those are a lot harder to remove. It's a good example is like a little toddler. It's cute when a little toddler is sassy. It is. It's cute when they talk back to you and they put their hand on their hip and they get sassy. But if we call that cute and we don't deal with that, 10 years later, it's not so cute when your 13-year-old is sassing back and won't be respectful and isn't listening. Because we've always said it was cute. You know what I mean? So it's not as cute and it's not as easy to remove at that age. At age 3, it is easy to remove. At age 13, not as much if we have allowed that all those years. It's easier when those sins are small. Number 3 thing, small weeds multiply when left unkempt. So when I would weed each and every day, those weeds were small. There weren't that many. But when you don't touch them, they multiply. And the same goes for our hearts. When we let some small sin in our hearts, we slowly become numb to sin itself. And we allow more small sins in our hearts. And eventually, like God told Cain, the sin wants to rule over us and it will. So when we desensitize ourselves to certain things, right? What are we watching on TV? What are we now accepting? Well, then we might start accepting a little bit more. And we're allowing more to enter into our hearts. And we're polluting our hearts and our minds with certain things. Or it could be our children. So sins, when they are left unkempt and we aren't taking care of them daily, can then multiply much more easily than if we are weeding it daily. All right, which brings me to number 4. Daily pulling of weeds takes less time than pulling the weeds all at once. Or pulling them all at once, like once a month or once a week, whatever it might be. So are we looking at our hearts honestly every day? Or do we wait for church on Sunday or every other Sunday? When we come to the Lord in prayer, we should first begin by looking at our hearts and weeding out the sin that we have let creep in that day. Because guess what? We are human and we are faced with so much every single day. It's common for us to allow things in our hearts. We are imperfect people and we are going to allow things into our hearts. And if we take a look at that every single day, and ask the Lord to show us what we need to repent of and turn away from, then we can stay on top of that. But if we just let it go, maybe say you only, you know, seek the Lord on Sundays or every other Sunday when you come to church. Well, we're going to, the sins are going to start growing. They're going to start taking root in our life. We need to be coming to the Lord every day and taking a look at those sins. Number 5, weeds are inevitable. Denying their presence is not the solution, but dealing with them is. So as for my garden, yes, they are going to happen. And if I just deny that they're there and like, I don't have weeds. What are you talking about? Well, that's not the solution. Just lying that they're not there is not the solution. They're there and they're going to grow and they're going to take over my garden. Same for our hearts. If we look at our hearts and be like, I don't have any sin in my heart. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you do. And if we let it go without dealing with it, it's going to take over your heart, your minds, your life, eventually your family. We have to deal with it. Okay. Denying that we have a sin problem will only allow those roots to grow deeper. And as we already talked about, larger problems and more of them will result from it. Number 6, weeds choke out the healthy fruit from the plants. I kind of mentioned this earlier. In my garden, I had like a really good thing going with my pepper plants. And as I let the weeds grow around them, it started to choke out those pepper plants. It started to choke out my bean plants, which I ended up just picking with the weeds and taking off the best of the beans that I could find, but just throwing away the plants altogether. When we allow sin to take root in our heart, the same thing will happen. And we let those grow. Guess what? Eventually, they'll get so big that they're going to choke out even the good that we're seeing. Because it can be tempting to be like, you know, I do all this good stuff. You know, I'm good. I'm a good person. Look at all this good fruit that I have. Or you're looking at your child like, you know, my child is so good. She's such a good kid. It's okay that I let her watch this, even though it's not a great thing. it's just a little sin that I'm letting in her heart. She's overall really good. And so it's okay. Well, I heard it once said this way, totally kind of switching examples here, but Joyce Meyer, I think, once said it this way. It's just a little poop in the brownies. We'll still eat them. There's just a little poop in the brownies. Like, you know, that's gross. You would not eat the brownies if there was just a little poop in it. But we let ourselves just have a little bit of sin in our life because it's okay. But it's just, we have to remember that little bit of sin, even if we do think our child, we're dealing with this right now in our own family. There's a YouTube channel that one of our children likes to watch, and the YouTuber it's a crafting channel. And the YouTuber is, I like it. I like to watch this YouTuber also. But lately, this YouTuber has been using the word freaking a lot. And my husband is like, no, I don't want, because what does that person really want to be saying there? Like, what does freaking really mean? And, you know, it obviously means the other word. And he's like, no, we're not doing it. I don't want that being what our daughter listens to. Oh, I just gave away my child's identity. What the child listens to. I don't want that to be what our child listens to all the time. And so it's like thinking of that example, my temptation is to be like, well, it's just a little bit of sin. It's just a little bit of what we don't approve of. It's just a little, but he's aware that little desensitization will then cause her to be more accepting of the next little thing. And then us to be accepting of the next little thing. And next thing you know, we've completely taken out our, we've lowered our standards so much, and we've allowed so much sin to enter in her heart per se. And who knows? And then the fruit that would choke out eventually as well, they will eventually start choking out the good fruit that's coming out of that child or coming out of your life. Number 7, weeds are easier to pull when the ground is soft. I had this one at the last minute because I've scheduled my weeding day right after like a day or two after it rained. It rained really hard and it hadn't rained in a while. And I'm like, you know what? Now's the time because the ground is soft. So the weeds came out a lot easier than they would have if I was trying to pull them out on hard ground that hadn't been rained on in so long. And so I'm like, you know what? It's the same in our lives. When our hearts are softer, it's easier to pull out those sins in our life that we have been hanging on to. What do I mean by softer? I mean when our hearts are softened to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I almost compare it to our hearts are softened by the Word of God. Like when our kids are convicted by the Word of God, in those moments, their hearts will be softened to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we should be praying over our children, their hearts would be softened to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And same for ourselves, that our hearts would be softened so that we can pull out those weeds a little more painlessly than would otherwise happen. So this is my challenge for you today. I challenge you to take a look first at your own heart and ask yourself if there are any weeds that you have been ignoring. I know for sure the Lord is really speaking to me through this. Next, I want you to look at the hearts of your children, and you can do this with your spouse. Sit down with your spouse and take a look at the hearts of your children and prayerfully and biblically tend to and pull out the weeds in your children's hearts. Now, is this going to happen overnight? Is there something that you've kind of left going and you've kind of ignored in your child's life? That's could be the case. Now, this won't happen overnight, but, you know, starting that process is a good thing. And again, this is something to do alongside of your spouse and to prayerfully work through that. And if we all commit to doing this, guess what? We change our hearts, we change our children's hearts, and this will change the trajectory and the heart problem that we are seeing in our nation for generations to come. All right, guys, I hope that encouraged you today to remind you that it does. The biggest change that can happen in our nation starts in our very own homes. We got to clean up our hearts and clean up the hearts of our families, and then we will change the world. If we all do this, imagine the world we live in. Amazing. So I pray that you guys have a blessed week. I will see you guys back here next week. Have an awesome day. For more encouragement and to find out where else we can connect online, visit AllisonPowers.com. Thanks for listening.